Chapter 17. Kira was so tired, she was barely aware of shucking off her clothing and stepping into the shower. Cleaning jets hit her skin at just the right temperature and pressure. The heat penetrated her muscles, relaxing her shoulders, making her legs feel like jelly. Too soon, the jets turned off, replaced by dryers that whisked moisture away. Then a light mist of nutrient-rich oil covered her skin and hair. She was delighted to discover that she didn't feel sticky at all, just soft, refreshed. She stepped from the shower and found that her sewer-stained clothing and even her boots were gone, replaced by a simple white tunic, which she pulled over her head. It fell mid-shin, leaving her feet and ankles exposed. Kira palmed the sliding door open and stepped out of the bathing cubicle. Engineer Genra's personal assistant was waiting outside, along with Han and Saulo, who were freshly clean and wearing white tunics of their own. She'd never seen Rodian feet before. Saulo's toes were a lot like his fingers. Long, green, tipped by suction cups. She forced herself not to stare. Han was grimacing, looking stiff and uncomfortable in his tunic.
"We smell like roses," he said, as if it were the worst thing in the galaxy.
"Better than sewage," Kira said. Genra's assistant guided them to a tiny bunk room with four beds, two against each wall. Saulo immediately claimed a top bunk. Han fell into the one below his, and Kira grabbed the bottom bunk across from him. The white linens were smooth, almost silky, and the pillow was as soft as a cloud. As she sunk into the mattress, it contoured itself around her, buzzing lightly with a relaxation frequency and the perfect amount of gentle warmth. She tried to keep her eyes open. She had to think. They weren't safe yet, not really. Maybe she could convince the engineer to... Sleep stole her thoughts. She woke to a hand shaking her shoulder. Kira peeled her eyes open and discovered Han bending over her, the bright red of his burned face very near. Saulo was right behind him, peering over his shoulder.
"Kira," Han said. "Genra's chefs made food for us. Do you want to come? Or would you rather sleep?"
Food might be the only thing that could get her out of bed right now. Just the mere thought made her feel like there was a hole of aching emptiness where her belly ought to be. "How long did we sleep?" she asked, rubbing her eyes and sitting up.
"Not sure."
Saulo opened up the chrono on his datapad and twittered something.
"He says we slept 10 hours, Han translated.
"I guess we needed it." Kira got to her feet, noticing that both Han and Saulo were back in their old clothes. Still threadbare and dingy, but clean and fragrant.
We'll step outside and give you some privacy, Han said. Your clothes are folded there.
He indicated the foot of her bed. A moment later, she was alone in the bunk room. She tore off the white tunic and donned her leggings and skirt, her red top and beige jacket. The skirt's color was ruined. It was still sturdy, still functional, but the deep, pure black of its youth was gone, replaced by streaks of white and gray and a badly bleached hem. Someone had even sewn up the spot she had torn, although it didn't look quite right. Everything else was in decent shape. The top had turned out especially nice. Whoever had laundered it managed to remove almost all the stains without fading the color. Maybe they'd injected a little dye. Whatever the case, Kira was grateful. The others were waiting outside.
"Took you long enough," Han snapped.
Kira stared at him. Han was impulsive and insensitive, but he was never purposely rude to her. He seemed to realize it, because he suddenly appeared sheepish.
"Sorry," he mumbled, running a hand through his hair. "It's just I'm so hungry I could eat a raw scree rat."
"Ew," Kira said, though she could sympathize. She expected to be led to the galley. Instead, Genra's assistant escorted them back to the viewing lounge. The engineer herself was stretched across the divan, ankles elegantly crossed as she sipped a glass of wine.
But Kira hardly noticed because the air was thick with the scents of butter pastries and meat pies, steamed vegetables and fruit cider, and a dozen things she couldn't identify because she had never, ever in her short life, smelled so many types of food. Her mouth filled with saliva and she looked around, maybe a little too desperately. There, the bar. Platters were laid out along the metal counter.
"Help yourself," Jenra said,
waving them toward it all. As one, they raced forward. Han grabbed an entire meat pie in his hands and bit off a huge chunk.
"Ow!"
he said around a mouthful.
"It's still too hot."
He kept chewing anyway. Su'ulo grabbed a delicate fork and speared a long, tube-shaped object. It was covered in some kind of gravy, and it wobbled on his fork. He slurped it down, then chattered happily at them.
"Gross," Han said. "Su'ulo says they're called dreebies, a kind of slug. It's a Rhodian delicacy."
In any other circumstance, Kira would have found that disgusting, but she was busy slapping butter onto a fluffy warm biscuit. She shoved it in her mouth, letting the flavor coat her tongue. She could almost weep. After gulping down the biscuit, she tipped the pitcher of ice-cold fruit cider to her lips and downed fully half of it without taking a breath.
"You know," the engineer said in an amused voice, "I had this staff set out some fine dinnerware and utensils for you, but I guess that works too."
The three of them stopped mid-gulp to stare at each other. "We look like desperate sewer kids who've never had a decent meal in their lives," Kira thought. But then she shrugged it off and grabbed a poached egg dripping in cream sauce. A few bites later, Kira began to feel sick. She wasn't used to rich food, or any food, really. She set down the piece of cake she was eating and started to wipe her mouth with the back of her hand. Then she thought better of it, grabbed a cloth napkin instead, and dabbed daintily. Kira folded the napkin and set it down. When she looked up, she discovered the engineer staring at her.
"If you're finished eating," she said, "come and join me."
She patted the lounge chair beside her. Kira obeyed. Han and Su'ulo paused eating long enough to watch her walk toward Jenra and settle herself in the chair.
"I think I might be sick," Han announced to no one in particular.
Su'ulo nodded enthusiastically, then noisily slurped down another dreeby slug.
Ugh. Kira had definitely eaten too much, too fast. She wasn't feeling so good herself.
"So," she said, turning all her attention to the engineer, so as not to be reminded of food, especially dreebies. "Did the data cube check out?" Jenra took a sip of wine and said,
"There was a small amount of degradation, but I was able to recover it. We found a strange residue inside. During the course of your adventures, did the cube by chance become submerged in liquid?"
No sense denying it. "We swam through an underground cistern while being chased by white worms."
"My technician suggested that the liquids were more like digestive enzymes."
Kira smiled and tried very hard not to look at Su'ulo or Han, even when Su'ulo loudly slurped down another slug.
"The water underground has a lot of contaminants," she offered. "It sounds like you've had an interesting few days."
"If by interesting you mean terrifying."
"Tell me all about it."
Kira pressed her mouth shut. She was so used to keeping secrets. Telling the engineer what they'd been through went against years of habit. But she couldn't think of a good reason to keep anything from her. Kira glanced over at Han and Su'ulo, still nibbling at the bar. Han shrugged as if to say, "Sure, tell her." So Kira started at the beginning with the assignment from Lady Proxima, the Kaldana representative becoming violent when the droid Gotra won the bid, the flight through the sewers with Han, and then with Han and Su'ulo. Han wiped his mouth on his sleeve and jumped in to fill in details from his perspective. The meeting in the foundry, the attack by the Kaldana, his own escape. Kira picked up the story again with their brief respite at her safe house, although she was careful not to describe it in too much detail.
Su'ulo explained the part about stealing his brother Rizo's speeder, with Han translating. And then Kira finished up with the fake race through the streets of Corellia, and their conversation with a badly damaged droid named Tool.
Then we had to escape from the foundry, Kira said.
That's where this happened, Han said, pointing to his burned face.
Kira said, and where your pet stormtroopers gave us your holo projector.
Su'ulo finished eating slugs and joined them, taking up the seat opposite Kira.
You're the boy with the data pad, Jenra said. The one I gave coordinates to.
Su'ulo nodded.
We couldn't have made it here without Su'ulo, Kira said.
I think they wouldn't have made it here without you, Jenra said,
leaning forward, gazing at Kira intently. The attention made her uncomfortable.
I guess.
Tell me how you retrieved my Wookiee.
That was easy, Kira said. We had resources thanks to you.
Still, you walked right in and out with him.
How?
Han said,
oh, we brazened it out. Well, mostly Kira. She's good at that.
The engineer leaned back on her divan and tapped a finger to her lip, considering them. She wore a sparkling red gown this time, with sculpted shoulder pads that rose into vicious points above her head. Her shoes seemed made of glass, with a wedge heel that added a hand span of height. Kira couldn't imagine dressing that way. You never knew when you had to run for your life, much less get through a doorway.
You've all proven remarkably resourceful, she said. Especially you, Kira.
Kira narrowed her eyes, instantly suspicious. Han had saved them more than once with his intuition. Su'ulo had come through for them with his mechanical skills. She wasn't deserving of praise any more than they were.
I had good people with me, Kira said. We made a great team.
And she meant every word.
I suppose you're right, Jenra said.
What about you? Han asked. How did you get away from the Empire?
Well, it took years of careful planning, she said. Of cultivating assets. Keeping my head down and my ears open. I spent 2 decades sending money to an untraceable account on an Outer Rim planet. Small amounts, so I wouldn't attract attention.
Su'ulo blurted a question.
He wants to know how old you are, Han said.
Jenra smiled.
Old enough to be your grandmother. My species is long-lived compared to humans. I was already an old woman by your accounting by the time I acquired my Wookiee and my ship.
Han looked away, frowning. Something about that last sentence had bothered him, though Kira didn't know what. She asked, "How did you end up with this incredible yacht? I guess the Empire pays well."
The Empire does pay fairly well, but not that well.
Then Kira stopped herself. She'd once heard that rich people considered it gauche to discuss money, which was totally impractical. It was the thing everyone needed most. Why wouldn't you discuss it?
I had to get creative, Jenra said.
Kira had no idea what that meant, but Han said,
You mean by selling Imperial secrets, for instance?
She smiled.
For instance.
So she'd been doing this sort of thing for a while.
But there's no going back this time, Kira observed. This time you're leaving the Empire, making a run for it.
Yes.
Han's eyes were wide, his lips slightly parted.
You can go anywhere, he breathed. With a ship like this.
He gazed out at the myriad stars.
The whole galaxy is at your fingertips.
Jenra sipped her wine.
Would you like to have your own ship someday?
Han gave her a disgusted look.
How's somebody like me going to get his own ship?
She shrugged.
You never know.
Well, I have a speeder, Han said, almost defiantly. I've been tinkering. It's not a starship, but it's going to be great.
Jenra nodded, as though she were agreeing with him.
I guess there's nothing wrong with small ambitions.
Kira couldn't stop herself from jumping to Han's defense.
Han is an incredible pilot.
A decent mechanic, too. He learns fast, and he already knows several languages. I can easily see him flying around the galaxy with his own ship someday.
Han stared at her. She stared back. There was a question in his eyes, but she couldn't tell what he was asking.
It made Kira uncomfortable, so she blurted, "Genra, I bet you've been from one end of the galaxy to the other. I bet you've seen everything."
Genra swung her long legs over the edge of the divan and sat up straight. She put her empty wine glass on the side table and placed her hands in her lap. Her fingernails were short, her fingertips thick with calluses, her bare forearms corded with muscle. Genra was certainly elegant and rich, but she also worked hard. She'd probably been working hard for decades.
"I've seen a lot, yes. My employment with the Empire took me all over, to all sorts of worlds, investigating technology, trying to find applications for it. That's my title, by the way, Senior Applications Engineer. So, for instance, when we discovered the toxic mushroom on Drashima 3, my staff figured out how to distill it into an anesthetic gas, and then I designed a delivery vehicle, weaponizing it."
"Those gas bomb thingies you gave us," Kira said.
"Yes, my very own design."
"Have you been to Coruscant?" Han asked eagerly. "Saulo was born there."
"Lots of times."
Saulo sat forward in his seat, and his black eyes widened as he asked Genra a question.
"He wants to know if you've met any Jet-I," Han said.
Then to Saulo,
"What's a Jet-I?"
"Jedi," Genra corrected. "I've met a few, but they're all dead now."
Saulo sat back, slumping in his seat.
"Huh," said Han, eyeing the Rodian. "Whoever they are, I hope they put up a good fight."
"Not really," said Genra.
There was only one thing Kira wanted to know. Softly, tentatively, she asked, "What's it going to take?"
"What do you mean, my dear?" Genra said.
"To feel safe. To survive. To be free of the people chasing you once and for all." Genra leaned forward.
"Do you feel safe, Kira?"
"Never."
"You have your answer. I'll try to sell the plans again, and once the deal goes through, I'll disappear. Somewhere on the Outer Rim, where even the Empire doesn't touch. I've been planning this a long time, and I have every confidence that things will go as I have foreseen. But I will never let myself feel safe."
Kira noted the slight contradiction. "I have every confidence. I will never feel safe." Maybe that was the trick. Be confident, but ever alert. The next question on the tip of her tongue was, "Why are you being so nice to us? Why didn't you throw us out of the airlock as soon as you got your cube back?" But the answer came to her, and she kept her mouth shut. Genra was showing them hospitality because she still needed them. But why? Something that had to do with selling her shield generator plans.
"How has that been going?" Kira asked, probing. "Selling the data cube, I mean."
"Oh, fine," she said. "We will hopefully have another auction soon."
Hopefully, not definitely.
"The Empire's presence on Corellia has definitely grown since you've arrived," Kira pointed out.
Saulo made a noise of agreement.
"They tracked you here somehow. I wouldn't be surprised to learn that all the potential buyers are a little gun-shy," Kira went on.
"Or stalling while they figure out if it would be more beneficial to simply turn you in."
"I bet there's a huge price on your head," Han said. "More money than I can imagine."
Kira gave him her best be careful look. Han immediately put his hands up and said,
"Not that we'd ever turn you in. We're just glad to get out of all this alive."
Genra studied the three of them in turn, as if considering. After a moment, she said,
"I admit, although there has been considerable interest in a second auction for the cube, buyers have been slow to come to the table."
Kira pondered this, and then she smiled.
"Uh-oh," said Han.
At Genra's questioning look, Han explained,
"That's Kira's I'm coming up with a plan face."
"Oh?" She turned to Kira. "Are you coming up with a plan?" Kira couldn't stop smiling.